When I was a child, we would often be, you know, there were four of us in the family, four kids, and then my two parents. And so Christmas morning would be there, and a lot of gifts were unwrapped. And almost every year it would inevitably happen that when all the papers were piled up from all the wrapping, we would start to clean up, and all of a sudden we'd find an unwrapped gift somewhere. You know, oh my gosh, look what we didn't see. And a gift that was all wrapped and ready to be opened, but had gotten buried and forgotten. And there it is, and all of a sudden, a gift that I didn't know I had was sitting right there the whole time. And I think that that's my image this morning for you and for me, is that when I talk to fellow Christians, fellow Catholics, as I talk, I discover that many do not take very seriously the completely new life that the Lord is offering them. Most people think that it's kind of normal to just kind of be living a mediocre, semi-comatose kind of life where you're just kind of getting through life barely and you're kind of tired and cranky most of the time. And you just hope one day I'll get to go to some kind of place called heaven and things will be better. I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, that the Lord died and rose to give you a completely new life, a completely transformed human existence. If anyone is in Christ, says St. Paul, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Romans 6 also says that we were buried together with Christ in baptism. We died with him, and just as he rose to new life, so too might we rise to a new and a more glorious life. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is offering us incredible gifts, and yet most Christians, I've noticed, don't really even know they have them. Let me be more specific, and let's begin to look at some of the gifts that the Lord mentions that are ours. The first gift is power. Power. It says here, Jesus says, whoever loves me will keep my word. Now, you and I, as we know the scriptures, the Lord can say some pretty challenging things. He tells us we're supposed to love our enemy. He tells us we're supposed to be true to our word. He talks to us about being chaste. He talks to us about being more generous. He talks to us about being more forgiving, and so on. All of this can sound very challenging. But brothers and sisters, the Lord is not just trying to load up a bigger burden and say, you've heard what Moses told you to do? I've got a longer list. That's not the good news. The good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ can so transform you and me through his love that we will keep his word. It is not you who keep the law. It is Jesus Christ living his life in you that keeps the law. The Lord is not asking you and me to keep the commandments out of our own flesh. He's saying, you die and let me live my life in you. And I promise you, you're not only going to love your enemy and be more chaste and so on, you're even going to love your spouse. Why? You're going to have authority over your life. You're going to become more joyful, more serene, more confident. You're going to be more generous, more kind. You are going to come alive, and you're going to keep the commandments not because you have to, but because you want to. Do you ever hear the way some people talk? You know, the saints always said, if the Lord wants it, I want it. If the Lord doesn't want it, I don't want it. Is that the way some of us talk? You know, how come I can't have it? It's not so bad. Everybody else is doing it. You see, but when the Lord really begins to live his life in us, we're confident and eager and serene, and we want to keep the law. We're eager. It's something we want to do. We want to be chaste. We want to be loving. We want to be courageous and speak the truth in love. We want to evangelize. We want to go out and love the poor. These things happen to us. It's not something you do or I do. It is the power of Jesus Christ living his life in you. That That is the first gift that the Lord is giving. But most people, when they hear a sermon, something more I've got to do. They don't even know they've received the gift of power. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know, I am a witness, and I hope you are too, that the more I experience God's love in my life, the more I get to know the Lord, and the more I've been faithful to His Word and to the sacraments and to daily prayer, brothers and sisters, His power is changing my life. There are sins I used to commit that I don't commit anymore. There are attitudes, bad attitudes, that I used to have that I don't have anymore. And I'm not boasting. I'm telling you what the Lord Jesus did for me. I'm boasting on the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. He has put sins to death, and He's brought grace alive. I'm more confident, more serene. I'm less anxious. I'm more generous, more compassionate. All those things than I ever used to be. And it is not Charles Pope. It is the power of Jesus Christ. This word, brothers and sisters, is true. And I am a witness. I hope you are too. Are there some sins you used to commit that you don't anymore? Have you seen sin put to death? Are you seeing grace and new life coming alive? The Lord says, whoever loves me will keep my word. Not prove it by keeping my word. He's saying, if you love me and you experience my love, you're going to keep my word. It's just going to happen. So the first gift is power. But too many Christians are like, I can't do it. It's too hard. It's not so bad. I don't know. They don't even know that they've received the power of Jesus Christ in their life. Know that you have it. Don't leave this gift unwrapped under the still wrapped up under the tree. Don't do that, brothers and sisters. You have the power. The second thing, presence. Not only will, he says, whoever loves me will keep my word, but not only that, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Now here too, I find that many Christians don't really have much of an awareness of the presence of God in their life. They're very forgetful of God. But brothers and sisters, let me explain to you that the normal Christian life is to be in living, conscious contact with God at every moment of your day. Aware of Him at every moment, in every person you meet, in every event, in creation, in the Word that you read every morning, here in the Eucharist and in the Mass. The Lord is speaking to you right now. He may be using this body, this voice of mine, but it's Jesus who's speaking to you. And to become powerfully aware of His presence, that is the gift that the Lord wants to give you. The sad truth is that many Christians go through their week, and many of them go through long stretches of the day without ever thinking of God. They can go several days even without thinking of God if they're a lukewarm or a backslidden Christian. It's a tragic and lonely way to live. And the Lord is saying, I'm giving you the gift to be powerfully aware of my presence. And if you go long stretches and are not, that is a problem. And you ought to say, Lord, something's wrong with me. But do not think that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could live long, lonely stretches unaware of His powerful presence in your life. The normal Christian life is to be powerfully aware of His power and His presence. Claim this gift. Open it. Use it. Enjoy it. This is what the Lord is offering. And the third gift, not just power and presence, but perfection. The Lord says, I've told you many things while I'm with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I've told you. In other words, you ought to expect real progress in your life. Maybe rather than say perfection here, I should just say progress. I don't know about you, but I know more about the Lord this year than I did last year at this time. That's the normal Christian life, to be growing in our relationship with God, to become more and more holy, to become more and more knowledgeable and aware, and have to have more and more things to say to people about the Lord. Now, as we get ready for evangelization, the Lord is saying to you and to me, you are witnesses of all that I'm doing in your life. And brothers and sisters, I'm now almost 49 and edging towards 50. I've told you this many times before. I would never want to be 29 again. I've just come too far from where I started from. I know all of us would like our 29-year-old body again, or whatever, a 20-year-old body. I used to be young, tan, and trim, and now I'm old, white, and fat. But it's not about the body. My body may be falling apart or whatever, but brothers and sisters, I'm more alive today than I ever was at 29. I've made so much progress. And I am a witness to you that if you are faithful to prayer, to the sacraments, if you're faithful to reading the scriptures and studying your faith, I promise you, greater and greater progress toward perfection. And I am a witness. And brothers and sisters, as far as evangelizing goes, this is where it has to come from. Not from some page of a book, precious though it is. You have got to be able to say, the Bible says, and I say to you that these words, I attest to you that these words are true. The Lord says, there are some things that you're not ready for now, but I'm going to get you ready for them. There are some things that you don't understand now, but one day you're going to understand. One day you won't have any more questions to ask me. I'm going to lead you into the whole truth. And I am a witness that the Lord has done such wonderful work in my life. For the last 20 to 25 years, a whole new mind has been given to me, a new heart. I see things like I never saw them before. I have new insights. I have new graces. You know, you can't get me to shut up. That's because the Lord has animated my mind. I'm excited. I have a vigorous mind. I'm not boasting. I'm saying, God did this for me. When I read His Word, I start to think and pray. You can't shut me up. These are gifts. You ought to respect the gift of a vigorous mind that's excited about what the Lord is saying in His Word, excited about what He's doing in your life, excited about what you're learning. This is a gift the Lord wants to give you. And yet, too many Christians just kind of settle down with a kind of a vague boredom, a vague just malaise and boredom. Well, I gotta pray. Let's pray. Lord, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I got my prayer done. Now what's on TV? Let's watch the hockey game and get all excited. The Lord can give you the joy and excitement that you get from sports for His Word. The Lord offers you this gift. The final gift I want to talk about is the gift of peace. The gift of peace. There's power, there's presence, perfection or progress, and now peace. The Lord says in this text, peace is my gift to you. And not as the world gives it do I give it, but my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Now, I think we talk about the gift of peace, but really, what is the gift of peace? And for me, the gift of peace is the experience. Notice, not just the knowledge, but the experience that everything is all right. Everything may not be the way I want it to be. Everything may not be lined up perfectly according to my plans. But everything is just fine. That is the gift of peace. We may not approve of everything, but we're accepted. You know, the way I figure, the world in which I live is imperfect. And the first reason it's imperfect is because I'm in it. And so rather than tell you all to get your stuff right, maybe I'll work on this part, and that's enough for now, right? But in the end, the gift of peace allows me, even though I keep my eye on the world as it ought to be, I'm able to live in the world as it is and to accept that there are difficulties and struggles. But you know, brothers and sisters, whatever crisis you're in, if you're in a crisis, whatever crisis you might be in, there is no panic in heaven over any crisis that you're going through. Just plans. God already knows how it's all going to work out. And for whatever reason, God allows difficulties in our life. In the end, it's somehow mysteriously for our good. But I promise you, it will be just fine. Every now and then, for a little perspective, I just take a little walk through the cemetery. And I say, you know, I see all these names on the tombstones, and I say, whatever struggles I'm going through, these people had them too. And now they're at rest. Somehow the Lord worked it all out. And brothers and sisters, even if you and I die, that's still progress to a place where God can lead us. Everything is all right. To be able to experience that even in difficult moments. I don't know how it's going to be all right. I don't know exactly how the Lord's going to work it out, but He's a way maker. He can make a way out of no way. He can write straight with crooked lines. I've trusted Him before, and He's always seen me through. Nothing has ever destroyed me. And so it is the gift of peace. I'd like to give you a few things to look for in your life as you try to unwrap this gift of peace. Because peace is the gift that many people come to very late in life. You don't have to come to it late in life. But it's a gift that we ought to begin to look for signs of inner peace in our life. And let me give you some signs to look for. That when the Lord starts to give you the gift of peace, here are a few things that you should begin to expect to experience. First of all, an increasing tendency to think and act deliberately rather than out of panic and fear and reaction. You see, what happens to us when we're anxious about many things is that we're reacting and we're lashing out in anger or fear. But as we begin to become more peaceful, we begin to think and act deliberately. We're not worried about trying to get back at somebody for what they did, or we're not trying to run around in a panic and get something solved immediately. We think and we act deliberately. Here's another one, an increasing ability to enjoy each moment and to stay in that moment. You're in God's house right now, and God is speaking to you. Is that okay just to be here now? Some of us are thinking, like, I get ready for the May procession. We got things in our mind, but is it okay just to spend a moment and let God speak? Just be in the moment. Maybe this afternoon you got some plans to be together with family on Mother's Day. Enjoy those moments. Don't worry about work tomorrow. Just enjoy the moment. Here's another sign, if you will, of inner peace. A loss of interest in interpreting the actions of other people. Are you praying with me on that one? They said that because, what are they up to? Right? Just people do what they do, and it may or may not have anything to do with me. Oh look, someone's angry. It may not have anything to do with me. We become more observant, and we're less rushing, because, you know, brothers and sisters, we can't usually even know all the reasons why people do what they do. constantly trying to interpret and decide why somebody's doing what they're doing. Brothers and sisters, when peace begins to come upon us, we begin to lose our interest in trying to interpret the actions of everybody else. Here's a big one. An increasing loss of the ability to worry. Oh, Lord, I'm a witness. I am a witness. I used to be so anxious about so many things. Some of you remember me when I was a lot younger. And I was here. I was worried about this, worried about that, running. Now I think maybe I don't worry almost to a fault. I don't worry about many things. Some people think I should be a lot more worried about some things than I am. But I'm beginning to discover that I don't even have the ability to worry about a lot of things anymore. Brothers and sisters, that's not Charles Pope. I promise you, that is Jesus Christ. That is the gift of peace. And I'm just going to say, thank you, Lord. I see some people running around worrying about things, and I'm just not going to go there, and thank you, Lord, and I can just stay in my own space. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A final one. I have a long list, and I'm not going to read them all. I'll just read one more. When God begins to give you the gift of peace, there are frequent attacks of joy. Frequent attacks of joy. You're just all of a sudden, for no reason, just overwhelmed with a sense of joy. Or humor, or just enjoying the moment. So brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ did not die on the cross so that you could run around all day long worried and anxious about 18 things. Are you aware of that? The Lord died to give you peace. Peace. Look for this gift. Ask for this gift. Yearn for it. Take it from under the tree, unwrap it, and say, this gift is mine. I don't know how to use it. I need to look at the user manual and start to figure it out. But I know that if I'm worried and anxious about many things, that Jesus Christ did not die for me to be in this condition. He says, I leave you the gift of my peace. And so it is. Four gifts today: power, presence, progress, and peace. Gifts that an awful lot of Christians apparently don't know they have, but they're there anyway. I'll just finish with a couple songs come to mind, particularly about peace. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, or sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well. Another song says, you don't have to worry. Did you hear what it said? You don't have to worry. Don't you be afraid. See, joy comes in the morning. Troubles, they don't last always. Oh, there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what comes my way, Lord, my life is in your hands. Amen.